Welcome to the Numerologist Podcast, where we bring you a very special guest every single week to help guide you on your spiritual journey, live with abundance, and inspire your soul.
Hi, numerologist community. Welcome back to another episode of the Numerologist Podcast with me, Rose. I am joined once again with the amazing, talented Roy Kirkland. And last time you may have listened to our podcast where we talked all about the life path numbers. Well, this time we are going to be talking about the birthday numbers. So firstly, hi, Roy, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. I'm very happy to be here.
Excellent. We're happy to have you. So let's jump right into it because I know the birthday number is quite an extensive one to talk about. So firstly, tell us, what is the birthday number?
Okay. Well, that's really simple because the birthday number is simply the day of the month on which anyone is born. Now, there are two different ways we use the birthday number. One of them is to use the entire number. Like if a person is born for the 21st, they are a 3, but we can also read it as a 21st, okay, as a person born on the 21st. We use the 3 for the calculations, though, for various purposes. So it's a really important number to take a look at because of the fact that most of the time we read it as a single digit. Some of the calculations use the compound numbers, such as the birthday challenge, like a person who's born on the 21st, to use the same example, would have a birthday challenge of 1, since, but I'll explain that a little bit later. It also enables us to see the karmic and the master numbers, because they always need to receive special attention. Whether we're counting the challenge or not, we always want to leave those numbers by themselves. The two master numbers are 11 and 22, as you might know, because there's no 33rd day of a month, okay? And karmic numbers are 13, 14, 16, and 19. And we'll be talking about those as we walk through the various ways of reading the birthday number, okay? I also want to mention that in the East, they call the birthday number the psychic number, okay? That's psychic in the sense of the mind and emotions being called the psyche, and not in the sense of a psychic ability or something that comes specially for every number, because it has a lot to do with some of the defaults of your mindset, of your mental posture, and how easy it is for you to pick up habits, thought habits, and so on from other people, that sort of thing, the type of habits that you might pick up, and so on. So they call it the psychic number, but we're going to call it the birthday number today. Okay. It's also very useful when you contrast it with the life path. It gives an overview of fortune. That's used a lot in like the Vedic or Tantric version of numerology, more so than it is in Western numerology. And we use it here in slightly different ways. Look at fortune and compare it to other numbers. It's also particularly important during the productive life path cycle. That's the second one of the 3 life path cycles. Most people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s are going through the productive life path cycle. And that's the period of the greatest productivity in life, in which one is building for their future and so on and so forth. Well, the birthday number happens to be the same number as that cycle, except for maybe the 11s and 22s, because they tend to evidence their power no matter which life path cycle you're in, except for the 22 and the first cycle, because kids don't attach to that number. Even 11 It's usually until the late teens or something in which the 11 begins to really evidence itself. Before that, it has to do with conflicts and so on that they experience, not conflicts with other people, but inner conflicts that they experience. Because an 11 is a very unique person, and children do not like to be unique. They always want to be part of the group, part of the crowd, involved in what's going on. They may exhibit some special talents and so on when they're young, some very exotic talents even, but actual behavioral aspects of that number will not begin to show up until they've decided that being unique, being different is okay. You know, it takes an internal decision to make that happen. Otherwise, it's just internal friction. Okay. Let's see. Birthday number, if you count them from 1 to 9, it's especially potent on any day of the month whose digits make the same sum. Okay. So, for instance, if the birthday number is 1, then the 1st, 10th, 19th, and 28th of any month are likely to be more intense in the experience. In other words, a person with a 1 has more intense experiences on those dates than the others usually, unless other factors are intervening to moderate it. Okay, other factors like the cycle number or the the pinnacle number or something of that nature. Now, the years that have a birthday equal to any compound variation of the birthday number, and when I say the years, I mean like the birthday, okay? So, in other words, a person who has one birthday number, the years during which they have their 28th, 37th, 46th, and so on birthdays will be pivotal in some way, regardless of the personal year cycle. In other words, this is something that people should watch out for with their birthday numbers. If you're a 5, for instance, of course, age 5 will have some events, but they'll be more pronounced at ages 14, ages 23, age 32, and so on, you see. Now, all the birthday numbers have a special meaning, but they all also carry the same qualities as their basic number. In other words, 22 has a special meaning when you're looking at a person's character, but it's going to carry some 4 characteristics. Okay, unlike when you see 22 in other places. So the birthday number is really important in terms of looking at how a person behaves in terms of the defaults in their character, things that they find it hard to avoid, and so on and so forth. It's one of the most important numbers in the chart.
Okay, excellent. So these are the basic rules for interpreting the birthday number. Can we get into some more specifics and some more details about them?
Yeah. Well, let's look at it like this. I'll use some keywords because this is kind of a limited time space to describe all the characteristics. But all the ones have an action-oriented, forceful, ambitious nature, unless other items in the chart modify them. Okay, so in other words, the people born on the 1st are the most mentally oriented, mentally active, and the least emotionally oriented of all the ones. In other words, they won't be quick to anger, but they will be quick to come up with new ideas and so on and so forth. People born on the 10th happen to be the most creative of the ones, okay? They're usually also very independent because you know, with 10, 10 is a 1 and a 0. And it causes the people born on the 10th to feel like there's nothing standing in their way. Okay. It's the beginning of a new number cycle. The 19th is a kind of an extreme combination. This is a karmic number. This is one of those numbers that has a special characteristic outside of what you'd expect from the digits. It produces powerful highs and lows in terms of the emotions, and that's especially true during the productive cycle in life. So people who are born, are between, say, 25 and something like 56 or something like that, usually have very intense productive cycles because the decisions seem to be either or. There's no way around. There seems to be no way around making an extreme decision for them. Okay. And it seems like the circumstances only offer extreme opportunities. Take it, leave it. What's the expression I was just thinking of? It's go all in or go home, you know, things like that are like 19 expressions. Okay. 28 is the most affectionate of the ones, and that's probably because of the two, but because of the eight, they also appear to be the most materialistic in their outlook on life. They build long-lasting friendships, but at the same time, because of that 2 and 8 combination, they can be kind of manipulative. So watch out for being too easy on what 28s are saying. The 2s, they all have the basic friendly, teamwork-oriented, alliance-seeking nature, unless other parts of the chart interfere with this. Like if they have a whole lot of 5s and a 2 birthday number, they're likely to be less loyal than the 2s are, or less willing to give someone a chance the way 2 normally is. It's the 2 itself is the most emotional, moody, and sensitive of the 2 numbers. The 11th is the master number in this group, and is also pretty emotionally oriented, but they don't show it unless they're doing it during a presentation or acting on stage or something like that. Then they can really show it off. They tend to have strong minds and high ideals, determination, and they may go into the extreme situations without cause. In other words, you might see them as being kind of volatile at times, take the most extreme methods, put the most extreme methods of getting what they want to use. The 20th is like a 2 on steroids, I always say, because they have very strong moods and they're driven to seek out friends or partners, I guess. They're making up for the 0, I suppose. But also the 2 is a very creative one. Now the 29th is an especially strong 2 because 2 and 9 equals 11. And this person is an inspired dreamer who probably has some psychic abilities, whether they acknowledge them or not, or whether they even care where their inspiration is coming from, okay, which is the case with some of them. They can, how do I put it, let go of powerful emotional changes easily. In other words, this is a person whose composure is not easily disturbed. They might feel very strongly about something, but it's easy for them to let those feelings go. At the same time, the 29 is very good at helping other people do the same thing. You might see that in the article that I sent for the blog about Tony Robbins. He's born on the 29th of February, which is one of those extremely odd dates. And it's a very powerful 11 in his chart, but it reads as a birthday of 29. Okay. Now, the threes are generally social, creative, and cheerful group. And all of them have this quality of contagious enthusiasm. All right. In other words, they walk into a room and let out a, hey, everybody, and everybody perks up. That's the kind of thing. They're all ready to enjoy whatever they exhibit. And they enjoy the attention of others. The three itself is restless and intense, tends to be very self-expressive. Well, all of them are, really. The 12 is most imaginative of the group. You find a lot of artists and musicians born on the 12th of the month. They easily capture the attention of other people. This is probably the most charismatic of the threes, although the 21s might argue with them. The 21s have this inventiveness and this ability to analyze things quickly that's usually praised by other people. They do very well in business, okay, this 21. The 30th is the most creative and probably the most spiritual of the group as well. They're often gifted with foresight. The ability to see things that other people don't or that haven't manifested yet. They can, they know when this phenomena is coming. You know, my favorite expression for 30 is the one they always use in Star Wars called, I have a bad feeling about this. That's like a typical three sort of thing. The fours are the most driven, productive, and reliable of people. Well, might argue with the driven because the ones and the eights are pretty driven too. But they can also be stubborn or they can be workaholics. All right. That's common for a person who's born under a four. The four is the most substantial of the group. They like being depended on, but they're not that crazy about being micromanaged or people trying to tell them how to do things, especially if it's something they really like doing. They're very practical, okay? The 13 is a karmic number and is very adaptable, kind of research-oriented. And when I say that, I mean in the everyday sense. 13 is a person who will mess with a recipe when they tell you to be careful of the amount of sugar you put in this. The 13's more likely to say, well, I'm going to put a little more than that and see how it comes out. You see, they tend to test things before they make decisions. In other words, they will not be quick to make a decision. And other people might consider that the regular stubbornness of four, but it's not because the 13 is going to go make a test or figure out some way to analyze whether this decision is going to be have a favorable or unfavorable result. Okay. Now, 22 is the master number. It carries all these kind of hardworking, practical, achievement-oriented vibrations of the four, but at the same time, they're highly intuitive and are able to bring their dreams down to earth. That's because the four in general is a management number, and the 22 is especially talented at managing people, managing individuals. Usually they're somewhat nervous in some way because the 22 can bring a lot of stress into an individual's life. Okay, so that usually manifests as nervousness. That's why all the 22s I ever meet, I always advise them to make sure to do everything they can to keep their emotional support group in place. because they need it. Okay, the 31st is kind of like the 13, but the 30 people born on the 31st can be unreasonable when they feel like they're being pressured. So if you have a friend or a relative who's born on the 31st of one of the months that has a 31st day, just be careful not to pester them. That's the worst thing you can do for them. Now, the fives. Okay. Five is the number of change. And these people who are under the five are adventurous, charismatic, and sensual no matter what they do. They experience a lot of changes. And if they don't experience a lot of changes in their life, they'll create some change on a regular basis. In other words, they can't do without it. But at the same time, it has that special talent that I think I've mentioned on the podcast before of being able to see opportunities and change when other people don't. Okay, it's a very quick-witted vibration, this five birthday number. The fives themselves are versatile and social. They're also fast thinkers and adapt easily to any changes. Now, people born on the 14th, this is another one of those karmic numbers, they have this strong sense of adventure. And these are the kind of people that put no fear stickers on the back of their SUVs, okay? In other words, they can be adventurous. They can be creative and inventive. But they're also prone to addictive behavior. And that can mean anything in terms of they're more likely to be upset when their TV show that they really enjoyed gets canceled, or when they go to the store and they can't find any of the frozen burritos they like. Things like this upset the 14, okay, because it breaks a pattern, and they like patterns. This is also a number that's prone to excesses, you know, like the guys who play the guitar solos for, you know, an hour and a half when in the middle of a concert. The 23 is probably the most charismatic of all the threes. In other words, 23 finds it easy to grab the center of attention, to be understanding to others. In other words, they're the greatest shoulder to cry on because they will usually come up with something funny that relieves whatever the cause for that tearing up is. And they're also very sensitive to the needs of others, this people born on the 23rd. Now we go to six. Okay, the sixes are oriented toward responsibility, duty, and domestic life. They like to care for and nurture people, and this responsibility can often have more to do with the needs of others than it has to do with their own needs. Okay, so the big lesson for anybody with a six birthday number is to learn how to accept what comes to you easily instead of giving it away to other people first. You know, the sixes are the kind of people who like think about, oh boy, if I had a windfall, I could give so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so some of the money and so on and so forth. They need to stop thinking like that because that's what stands in the way of their prosperity. They attract opportunities and money easily, but again, they will often give their own financial benefits and so on away to others, or let others somehow get to them in such a way that they end up doing so. That's because this is a love number. This is a loving, sympathetic, driven, very skilled at whatever they do. But the main thing is that they want to make life comfortable and beautiful, not only for themselves, but for everyone else. Okay, people born on the 15th are both magnetic and cooperative, and they're also worldwide, so I should say. They tend to be the most visibly affectionate of the sixes. They're outwardly caring. These are the people who run up and give you a hug when they see you. Okay. The people born on the 24th are highly energetic, but they're also very restless. They have a strong work ethic and tend to be the most conservative of the group. They're also the most practical of the group. And when I say conservative, I mean to them, home and family is everything. Okay. And this is why people who talk about fives and say that they're commitment phobic, they don't know anybody born on the 24th, all right, or have 24 as the subtotal in their name number or something like that. So this 24 is a very home and family oriented, conservative, politically conservative with money and so on. Those are their qualities, okay? The sevens. Now, this is an interesting group because the sevens are usually somewhat reserved. They're a mentally oriented group, and they tend to privacy, and they're all idealists in some way or another. I mean, you have a completely different, a completely wide range of careers that people who are born under seven feel themselves as being comfortable in. I've known several classical musicians under seven. So rock musicians usually go for, come from the threes and the fives. But the sevens are generally like oriented to the type of music that has to be practiced and refined and so on and so forth. You'll find a lot of lawyers who are sevens. You'll also find preachers and evangelists who are sevens. In other words, they look for not only the privacy, but the opportunity to try to find that elevation, you know, that elevation for themselves and for everyone else. But you'll also find a lot of people who are loners. The kid who you see who's always wearing black and sits in the corner in the party by themselves and wants to be left alone could very well be a seven. That's one of the sides of this number. The people born on the seventh tend to be loving, intuitive, and intelligent, and they tend to gain their money through knowledge and through their intelligence rather than through labor. So here's where you find a lot of computer programmers and people like that, okay? The 16 is a karmic number. Now, this one's really interesting because in this 16, people will often stick with conventional wisdom as opposed to following their intuition. At the same time, they tend to be a little bit more distant, and they tend to be somewhat philosophical as well. In other words, their wisdom is more likely to be traditional philosophy or traditional wisdom. You know, they might say they're more likely to say something like, what's the expression? Don't try to wear another man's shoes, other than go to into a Nietzschean or Platonic dialogue about individuality. Okay, that's 16. 25th. They're the least likely to work in isolation of any of the sevens, okay? These are people born on Christmas Day. They like being around people and doing cooperative work as opposed to doing their thing in private or having the need to do their thing in private. In other words, you'll find a good number of lawyers in this because they'll have a team of people that they work with to go through their transcripts and documents and so on and so forth. But then again, that's only in America where lawyers work like that. I don't know. Maybe some other countries have similar barrister traditions, but that's the way things work here. Let's see. also tends to be very intuitive and relationship oriented. Some sevens do have a hard time with relationships, not those born on the 25th. But at the same time, people born on the 25th tend to have commitment issues. In other words, they find it hard to stick with someone that doesn't allow them the privacy that they need. In other words, if someone's got a partner who's born on the 25th, you don't want to send them a text message every 5 minutes while we're at work. Okay, that'll destroy the relationship faster than anything else. Eights. All eights are ambitious. There is no doubt about that. They have a strong managerial instinct like the fours, but at the same time, they tend to be more traditional in their values and ideals. At best, you'll find the eights to be balanced, knowledgeable, and good at capitalizing on opportunities. At the worst, you'll find that eights are focused so strongly on the material side of life that they will often neglect parts of their own soul or parts of or things having to do with seeing yourself or putting yourself in a position of acting on tolerance and compassion, least likely to do that sort of thing. Okay. At the same time, I know eights who work as business managers in spiritual communities and so on and so forth. So it's not uncommon, but that's because of the discipline that comes with the number. Okay, those born on the 8th are the most productive and growth-oriented of the group. People born on the 17th tend to be more traditional in values and ideals and tend to be more balanced and somewhat knowledgeable. The people born on the 26th tend to be the most generous and expansive. And sometimes this can be too generous for their own good. They're cooperation oriented and tend to be more spiritual than any of the other, more spiritually oriented than any of the other eights. The nines have strong protective instincts. In other words, the nine is like your bodyguard. You know, you're a soldier and so on and so forth. People born on the 9th of the month, they tend to push forward to achieve their goals, and they tend to have these strong protective instincts that, as well as a wide range of interests. This is another adventurous number, like 5. The 9th tends to be more artistic and generally successful. This is another worldwise number. People born on the 18th like to accomplish big things and tend to have the widest range of interests of all the nines. It's rare to find a person born on the 18th that doesn't have a little knowledge about a lot of different things. Okay, people born on the 27th. Are the most forceful and responsible of the group. excuse me. Forceful and responsible of the group. It's the 27th that you'll find will do sacrifice anything to protect the people that they love. And they're also known to be very, very good partners in relationships and romance and so on and so forth. So if you know someone who's a 27, this is a person that you can trust to do their best, to do the right thing whenever they're around you. Okay.
That was a great overview of all of the numbers there. And I think one thing that it reminds us is that all numbers are sort of made up by other numbers that you have to consider in the final sum as well. So, mm-hmm. So that's really interesting. I know it's a lot to cover in full detail, but can you tell us a bit about how we can use these birthday numbers?
Well, sometimes these birthday numbers have a lot to do with professional choices. For instance, a person with, say, for instance, a 3 birthday and a 5 life path or a 9 life path might make a great DJ or promoter for artists and so on and so forth. This is sometimes the key to not only discovering a person's profession, but when they ask you, well, what should I be doing with my time? This will often give you a good idea. Okay. They also might be used for determining powerful timing decisions, like taking an important business action or on months or days that coincide with the birthday number. In old school numerology, it was the main number of things, main number used for things like analyzing phone numbers, addresses, other numbers that the person's birthday number will resonate with. For instance, if a person is looking for a house and you're 3 and there are 2 houses available next to one another and one of them's address or across the street from one another and one of them's address is 101 and 102, they should take the 102 without a doubt, because that 3 will give them a much better opportunity to do their own thing. Okay. Let's see. Some schools of thought use them as part of relationship studies. In other words, they compare one person's life path and birthday number and the other person's life path and birthday number. They take those 4 numbers and compare them with to one another and see what comes up. And then they do the same thing with the names, taking the first name and the full name and of both parties, and do the same thing with that. And then they rate the compatibility on these 4 different parameters. Okay. So there are lots of things that can be done with the birthday number. My favorite way to use them are to help people when they get on the on a different page from their partners. The birthday numbers might be the issue in this, when one person is just not agreeing with what another person is doing, okay? But the best way to use the birthday number, to me, is to understand and work with the birthday challenge. And that's important because the association of the birthday number with the productive cycle, which is generally a person's major career time, if the birthday challenge isn't being attended to, then it's likely that they won't do as well. If they will, if you actually pay attention to the birthday challenge and try to work with it instead of the birthday number itself, you see.
Okay, so can you tell us a bit more about the birthday challenge you were just talking about?
Sure. Now, first of all, I'll try to be brief, okay? It's important material, so please bear with me for a few seconds. To start with, those whose birthdays are the 1st through the 9th do not have a challenge, okay? That's because the challenge is identical to the number itself. The rest do have a challenge, and it's something like the life challenge. They're found by subtraction, in which one of the digits of the compound number is subtracted from the other. In other words, a person, as I mentioned earlier, born on the 21st will have a challenge of 1 because you're subtracting 1 from 2. A person born on the 19th would have an 8 challenge, which is, 1 minus 9, or 9 minus 1, rather. This is the way the birthday challenge is found. Okay, we're going to talk about the 2 special cases a little bit later. The thing of it is that the higher the number, the more crucial it is to work with the challenge to keep it from becoming an issue. You know, in other words, the birthday challenge can be an issue unless you do something with it. It's like growing a cactus plant. It's one thing to just throw a bunch of, start a bunch of cactus plants in the middle of some place that there's a pathway that you're supposed to be walking on. And it's another to put them in pots and have them set aside so that they're there for visual representation as opposed to being there to act as a trap for somebody to hurt them. Okay, now if this is the way we generally calculate them. Generally calculate them. In other words, we always take the lower number from the higher number. For instance, a person born on the 10th is a 1, has a challenge of 1. The person born on the 11th has a challenge of 0 because 1 from 1 is 0. Okay, we're going to call that 9. Like 9 acts like 0 sometimes, and in this case, this is where 0 acts kind of like 9. That's a complicated thing. I don't want to get into it right now. We don't have the time. But when I give you a brief overview of the numbers themselves, we'll see what they are. Okay. A person born on the 12th is 2 minus 1, which is 1. Person born on the 13th is 3 minus 1, which is 2, and so on. So let's go back up to the higher numbers. 9 minus 1 is the 19th. That's an 8, as I mentioned. The 20th is 2 minus 0, which is equal to 2. On the 21st, this is a little bit different. 2 minus 1 equals 1. And in this challenge, the 1 is more powerful for people born on the 21st than those born on the 12th. The reason why is that when you're leading with the 2 is an even number that's friendly and so on and so forth, and doesn't have you're leading with the 1, which is not so friendly and needs the backup of that compassion and so on and so forth. But on the 21st, it has that 1, which carries the self-confidence that is needed by the 2 so badly. I don't know if I was too confusing about that, but for people born on the 21st, they tend to be luckier because the 1 challenge is easier for them to do than the people born on the 12th. Okay. The 22nd is again a 0. The 23rd is a 1 again. And this is interesting because the 23rd is even stronger than the 21 in terms of the 1 being at a higher level of strength. In other words, the higher up we get in the numbers, the stronger the value of the root number is. Okay, on the 24th, the 2 is stronger than for those born on the 13th. There's no 2 actually in the number. You see what I mean? But on top of that, 24 is a 2 as well. 13. 13 also gives the 2, but it's a lower number. So the 2 challenge is a stronger challenge for people born on the 24th. Okay, 25th is also a 3. Okay, this is how they're found. But the most important thing is you get a bonus for dealing with these challenges. When we think about challenges, we usually think in terms of problems, but they're not problems. They're like the questions on a test that are marked as extra credit. If you do this, you can raise your B+ to an A. They're like that bonus round they give in some of the TV game shows in which all of a sudden all the winnings are doubled that you make. So it's like that. That's what a challenge is. But the questions are harder, okay? So it's like that. A challenge is like a bonus. and they bring about a little extra jolt or a little extra charge in terms of being yourself. That's, I guess, what psychologists would call personality integration. You know, gives you an ability to, and that's especially true in the case of people who have a challenge of one. People who have a challenge of two find it easier to cooperate with others and to commit with to work and friends. In other words, if you take action to do these things, in other words, if a person with a challenge of one spends more time working to be themselves as opposed to trying to impress others with their image, they'll get this bonus, okay? The people who are born with a two challenge, their challenge is to cooperate. So if they cooperate with others and commit to their work and their friends and so on and so forth, life just gets better in general. The same thing is true of people with a challenge of three. It's a matter of keeping themselves focused, okay? And also to be a little social. A lot of people have this challenge of three and will tend to avoid being with other people for social activities and parties and so on and so forth. But you have to do that, and you have to keep your energies focused, because three is the most distracting of all the numbers, the most distractible of all the numbers. And people who have a challenge of three will usually find themselves in a position where they're either watching the clock or messing around on Facebook and Twitter when you're supposed to be doing research, things like that. That three can be a bear, all right? Four is to be thorough and persistent, especially at work and without complaints, okay? In other words, if a person with a four challenge needs to finish what they start, needs to be persistent, to keep at it until they've reached their particular goal and so on and so forth. This is especially true of people born on the 15th, you know, or people born on the 26th of the month, okay? Let's see, people born with a five challenge need to be responsible with their freedom. In other words, using things that may impact their freedom as an excuse to break commitments and so on and so forth. This is not a healthy thing, but it can happen when fives is the challenge as opposed to being the base number. Being responsible with the freedom and embracing change, okay? I've already explained a couple of times why embracing change is so important for any number five that appears anywhere in the chart, because that will give the person with the challenge of five the ability to see inside changes and extract the opportunity that's hiding in there, okay? The six is a need to be willing to adjust to responsibilities. In other words, the sixth challenge can be rough, but if you are willing, make yourself willing to adjust to the responsibilities that these adjustments are necessary in order to deal with, then the entire life is improved. Everything is improved in life. Okay, the seventh challenge is to have faith. Okay, and it's also has a lot to do with discipline. Now, I know this because seven is my challenge number. I was born on the 18th of the month, you see. And to have faith is hard sometimes. I mean, one of the persistent negative thought forms that comes into my mind is like, why should I believe? Why should I, you know, care? And so on and so forth. Why should I believe it? No, I'm going to believe it this way. I'm not going to take that person's opinion as an article of faith, you know. I'll tell you, it could be rough. But it's a matter of having faith. And one day in one of these courses, I'm going to explain why these negative thought forms appear to us and how they do it by the numbers and keep us from manifesting things. Okay. Let's see. 8 is to be responsible and compassionate in your use of money and power. In other words, a person who, for instance, a 19 can be a tyrant or a saint, depending on which side the pendulum is swinging to at any given moment. But if they follow their 8 challenge to be responsible in the way they use their power, then that will blunt the sharp edges of both the 9 and the 1. Because the 9 and the 1, as you know, are the beginning and end of the non-number cycle, okay? So you don't want to swing to extremes all the time, but by working with that 8 and taking that responsibility, you will certainly develop this responsibility and compassion. Okay. Now, when we go to the 0, like I said, we're going to count that as a 9. Only the master numbers have those because they're all double digits. And sorry about that noise. It seems like somebody is trying to Skype me. I forgot to log out before we started.
That's okay.
Okay. So the thing of it is that this is why I always say people get so hyped up about these master numbers, you know, meaning that they're automatically a master of something, you know. But the 0 or 9 challenge that all master numbers have basically means all of the above. In other words, the person who has an 11 or a 22 as a birthday number needs to take up all of the other challenges, and they will at some time during their life, they'll be faced with them all. But at the same time, when you get them, when you get these challenges and you work with them, you have achieved the absolute ultimate of that number. That's when the master number is really a master number, as opposed to being a taskmaster number. You see what I mean? So it's always difficult to bear these master numbers, especially for kids. But nevertheless, when these challenges are overcome one by one, it like makes for a life that's so amazing. I wrote that article about Tony Robbins, who's got so many 11s in his chart that this birthday challenge of 0 or 11 is perfectly described. 0 or 9, I should say, is perfectly described by the events in his life and by his activities and what he does for a living in his classes and courses and so on and so forth. He goes through these challenges one by one to teach people how to overcome all of them. And that's what I thought was so amazing about this guy when I first started following him, because he's such a perfect example of the upside of having an 11. Okay, as a birthday number. Okay, now, the even better news is that the birthday number comes with a gift. Okay, in other words, there's a birthday number, there's a birthday challenge for those who have challenges, and then there's a birthday gift that reveals a hidden talent or ability that is another bonus. So you don't have to do anything special for it except to focus on it being an inner asset and learning to express it. Now, the thing of it is that if you do this, so by taking up the challenge, you also get this double bonus possible, and that it makes a gift or a talent or ability become a part of your daily life instead of something that's hiding in the background of your life, okay?
Interesting. So yeah. Can you tell me more about the birthday gift? How does that work?
Yeah, sure. It's pretty simple. We find it, to start with, I'm going to quote Professor Avery, who wrote the Bible of Modern Numerology. He says that nature does not take anything away unless it gives something else, okay? And the gift is the difference between the birthday challenge and 9, since 9 is the number of completion, all right? Now, for example, those born on the 10th, 12th, 21st, and 23rd have a birthday challenge of 1. So for them, the gift is 8, because 1 from 9 equals 8. You see, it's the difference between the birthday challenge and 9. Those who have a challenge of 2 have a gift of 7. Those who have a challenge of 3 have a gift of 6, and so on through the numbers. People with the single-digit numbers and the master numbers don't have a gift, but the thing of it is that living your life well with that number, of course, the master numbers, of course, themselves would work like a 9, since 0 from 9 is 9, and that means all the gifts combined. This is why I say the ultimate possibility for carrying a master number as a birthday number is that you master all these challenges and therefore become the highest achiever possible, you know, in the realm of this type of numerology. All sorts of opportunities, worldwide travel, working with all kinds of people, all kinds of things like that, making big projects happen and so on. Okay, here's what the challenges mean, though. Let's see, there's accomplishment for 1, an achievement. Accomplishment and achievement for a 1 birthday gift. Second birthday gift is 2, gives intelligence, and especially emotional intelligence. For 3, the gift is creativity. And creativity is a very deep thing. It goes more than, you know, doing finger painting and so on and so forth. It's like we create our own realities. And this is the type of creativity that we're talking about here. Okay. 4 is growth. Like creativity, just doesn't mean that you don't stop growing until you get to 7 feet or something like that. It means that your personality growth, your individual growth as a human being, your knowledge, and so on and so forth. This is what comes with the gift of 4. Okay, never give up, never surrender. That kind of courage and so on comes with this 4. The fifth is stability. In other words, you know how 5 is the number of change. This is the ability to stand your ground no matter what kind of changes present themselves to you. This is the kind of stability that allows you to, how do I put it, see in all 5 dimensions, or hear all 5 tones, as the Chinese would put it, or look in the 5 directions, handle the 5 elements. This is stability, being in the center, at the center, which is immovable and indestructible. Okay, so this is the gift of 5. The gift of 6 is success. No other word for it. It's success in whatever way you imagine success to be. The 7 is knowledge. The 8 is prosperity, courage, and abundance. And like I said, if you're born under a master number, the 9 or 0, if you want to count it that way, gives all of the above.
That's pretty lucky for the ones who have got that 0 and 9 in their birthday numbers. But I suppose they've got challenges as well, right? So it compensates.
Yeah, the challenge is all of the above too.
Yeah, know? Absolutely. Absolutely.
They've got a lot of stuff to work through before they get to the place that the gift is just fully manifest.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Roy, what else can you tell us about the birthday number?
Okay. Well, let's see. When we get a little further along in our talks, you'll see lots of different ways that I use the birthday number. And you'll see how the birthday number has more to do with a person's psychology than the brief descriptions that I've given today. If it is given, or any of the descriptions that are given in the regular books that we see, it's also one chart element that will be visited over and over again in blog posts, podcasts, ebooks, so on and so forth, that we've got coming out in the near future. So just stay tuned. This birthday number is a really good number to work with. It's not the only thing in the chart. Some people will say, well, now that I know your birthday number, I know everything about it. Not true. The birthday number, again, represents opportunities that are given. It's up to the person to act. But in the meantime, let me mention this. Many of the Western books on numerology don't discuss the planetary correspondences with the birthday number. In other words, it's a part of astronumerology, which is practiced more in the East than it is here in the West. And I think they're important because they represent obvious characteristics that belong to the entire number group to which each birthday number belongs. In other words, for one, which is the sun, that's the first, 10th, and 19th that are associated with that. And I also need to mention that this kind of thinking, this kind of systematization was done a long time before Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto were discovered, so we don't use them either in ancient Greek astrology, Vedic astrology, or even in the traditional Western astrology that comes from the Renaissance and so on and so forth. For people like myself, we understand that the modernization means interpreting the ancient stories, poems, indications, and so on and so forth in the context of today's world, not adding in other planets and stuff like that. That's what modernization means for those of us who know the traditional art. I mean, I can use the modern art too, but the traditional art seems to be far better developed. So anyway, let's see. Birthday numbers 1, 10, 19 and 28 are associated with the sun. Birthday numbers 2, 11, 20, and 29 are associated with the moon. Birthday numbers 3, 12, 21, and 30 are associated with Jupiter, which is the planet of growth, the planet of expansion. Okay. Birthday numbers 4, 13, 22, and 31 are associated with what used to be called the dark sun, which means eclipses. And it also, so the Hindus associate it with the dragon's head or the north lunar node, which is known as Rahu. We'll cover this subject more when I do the astronumerology talk in a few weeks. But anyway, the birthday number 5, 14, and 23 associated with Mercury. You know, Mercury is like the trickster, as well as being, to use a colloquial phrase, the god of smarts. Okay. Mercury is the most clever of the ancient gods. Birthday numbers 6, 15, and 24 are associated with Venus. Venus brings harmony and balance to whatever it touches, in that these numbers 6, 15, and 24 strive at all times to smooth things over and calm things down. The 7, 16, and 25 are associated with the dark moon, which is like the dragon's tail or the period of the new moon or something like that. If you know somebody who's born on the 7th, 16th, or the 25th, you'll notice that their moods will travel so closely to the phases of the moon that when the new moon comes during those three or so days in which we can't see the moon at all, that they're more likely to be in a snit than any other time during the month. These are also lunar eclipses and the South Lunar Node. The lunar eclipses are the ones like the blood moon we had a few years ago. God, where's my mind? Okay. Birthday numbers 8, 17, and 26 are associated with Saturn, the planet of discipline and the planet of authority. Birthday numbers 9, 18, and 27 are associated with Mars, the warrior planet. This is where the fiercely protective nature of the nines comes from, this association with Mars. Now, to some of our listeners, these associations are going to be obvious, but during the talks I do in the future about astronumerology and how astrology and numerology coincide and where they coincide, you're going to find out a lot about this, about how this is some no fooling around tech that people invented way back in the days when they had no computers, no technology of the type we have today. They had these little stone disks that they moved pegs from one hole to another, and each one of those holes marked out the orbits of the planets, and they did it in such a way that they could calculate eclipses within a matter of hours and the so on and so forth. So anyway, that's what I wanted to say about that. So whichever one you are, remember your planet as well as your number, because it will also be a good guide for you, especially if you follow astrology as well.
Wow, Roy, that just brings up so many more questions.
I don't even know where to get started
with that. And we are running out of time, though. So where can we learn more about this?
Well, there's very little in print that matches the vision and power of looking at numerology this way. But as I said, I'll be presenting plenty of material on the subject through blog posts and through podcasts in the future and through the ebooks and so on and so forth. But the best way to learn about this is to have a numerology chart made and begin to study the birthday number and look at the comparison of your birthday number to other numbers, you know, because the chart will explain what these other numbers are associated with in your life. And this is the best way to prepare for your future adventures in studying numerology.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much once again, Roy. And numerologist community, just a reminder there that you can subscribe to our podcast so you make sure you can get all of our updates and information from Roy in the future, because like I said, we will be doing many more podcast episodes. And make sure you head over to the blog as well. You can sign up to receive our weekly newsletter over there where Roy's blog post will be presented to you as well. So once again, thank you, Roy, and we will talk to you in a couple of weeks, probably about the life cycle.
About the what's that?
The life cycle numbers. Are we talking about next time?
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, there we go. We got that commitment there.
Yeah.
So awesome. Okay, well, we'll speak to you in a few weeks. Thanks, Roy.
Okay. All righty. Talk to you then.
Thank you for listening to the Numerologist Podcast. If you loved it, make sure you subscribe and don't forget to check the show notes for an extra special free gift.